Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is our David Murphy, publisher of the National Black Unity News. And I want to welcome everybody to the call this evening. And, you know, it's a great
day. You are muted. You can mute or unmute yourself
and
by pressing star 6.
And it's a great day because you are here. And today is, as most of you know, is Valentine's Day.
Unmuted.
So I'm sending out, you know, those hearts and all of those good things to everybody, you know, and it's good for some people. It upsets some people because it causes up all types of memories and, you know, love and loss and all that good stuff and bad stuff. But also, it's another important day, too. One of my mentors, it's Frederick Douglass' birthday as well. And, you know, in this town, I was on the show earlier today with Brother Lee Fields. And Lee Fields is like one of our local historians. And he brought up the fact that, like a timeline between newspapers, you know, he mentioned all, you know, from Frederick Douglass' paper all the way up to the Afro and then me as well. And so, like I said, it's good to have people who's into this and who's into that. That what makes the world go round. You know, everybody has their gifts and their talents. But tonight, like I said, it's going to be kind of open discussion. But before we get started, as always, I'm going to bring my brother, Satavi Jahi, and you know, he always share positive affirmations for us. So, Brother Satavi, you got it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. How's everybody doing on this day? I hope everybody's doing fine and hope you have the love that you want in your life. So that you can make Valentine's Day important. Reading for today, knocking on the wrong door. You're on earth for a purpose. Everyone's goal should be to find that purpose and to walk on the path to your destiny. Damon Wayans, actor and comedian, of course, from him. Reading for today, opportunities come and go. Sometimes we're insightful enough and lucky enough to seize them. And unfortunately, there are moments when we allow our hopes and dreams to go by the boards simply because we fail to open the door once opportunity knocks. Who amongst us hasn't had missed opportunities? But there's good news. Opportunity surely will knock again. What is opportunity and when does it knock? It's knocking right now if you only listen. Opportunity is desire. Desire is the force of forces. You may possess anything that you so desire, provided that you know exactly what you want. Want it badly enough, confidently enough, and expect to obtain it, and are willing to pay the price for its attainment. Furthermore, desires not only develop and evolve within you, the individual, but they attract the conditions, circumstances, and people consistent with your desires. In other words, if you know what you want, if you knock on the right door, opportunities will certainly come your way. You are opportunity, and you must knock on the door leading to your desire. Begin now to prepare yourself to recognize opportunities and to pursue and seize these magical moments. And who gives you this right? You give it yourself. You can only fulfill your God-given destiny. Today I'm alive to opportunity. When it comes my way, I will take advantage of it. And that's our reading for today from Daily Motivations for African-American Success. Author again is Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who we read from every week when we come on here. He was also the author of Think and Grow Rich, a Black Choice, giving ideas and thoughts on how to break to curse poverty in our family lines. And that's something we should really be thinking about. How do we fulfill breaking that curse? And people have a lot of different solutions. And as long as you pursue the ones that nurture you, hopefully you will find your success and find what it is that you want to obtain. So with that said, David, I'm going to turn it back over to you, sir.
Well, thank you, soldier. I appreciate you. And listen to what my brother was just saying. You know, it's been an interesting weekend. You know, last week we had Brother Bill Curtis on with us, and, you know, we were talking about symbolisms, the flags and stuff like this. So I ordered a couple of flags from him, and I put it up there. And then my thought patterns start proceeding. Then I went into the past and got my original newspaper, the number one paper, the first one I ever did, put it in a frame. Through Amazon, I ended up ordering about 16 frames, all different sizes, because from Friday until today, I put up 15 pictures in that flag, and I got pictures of the first issue. I'm looking at them now. That's why you see me looking around. I got every January since we started this paper, which is six issues. One, the first issue wasn't in January, but I still consider that a year in 2017. But I got each one of those first years in a frame. And then I don't have many achievement awards and stuff, but I have all of them in a frame. And so now I look around, I'm like in a museum. I can go all the way back to my, you know, from where it started from up to the day. And now, you know, I already get early in the morning. So now I look around me, even got my grandchildren. They did a little drawing when they were 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. I treasure stuff like that. So I even have them in frame as well. But, you know, I get up now and it's just like it's a different place I'm in. You know, it just takes me from yesterday to today. And they are like affirmations. And it's like I say, listening to, you know, old music just takes you back to so many different things. And so, like I said, I'm in a good, very good place in life. You know, God has truly blessed me, you know, with longevity, blessed me with good people like yourselves. But, you know, the world still goes on. A lot of people are still in turmoil. And over the weekend, all sorts of things was going on. You know, we got the Olympics. We well represented in that, even the Winter Olympics. And I've seen a couple of sisters got some gold medals and stuff like that, you know, good for them, because I know they put in their blood, sweat, and tears into that. And then we had the Super Bowl yesterday. And, you know, when it first came on, I looked at, you know, they announced who the players, the defense players, as well as the offense players. And the majority of them were people who looked like me who played in that game. And in front of, you know, I don't know, they said so many million, 50, 60, 70 million. I don't know how many it was. But I do know they were saying that the 30-second commercial, they increased tremendously. I'm talking about, they were talking about $2 and $3 million for 30-second slot. And so that's the power of media, but, you know, an advertisement. But the point I'm trying to make is, you know, that I kind of hit me. You know, like I said, I don't really plan stuff, but thoughts come to my mind. You speak on Monday, you know, things I would like to talk about. Now, you know, we had heroes in that game. We had heroes in the Olympics. And as of last week, we were talking, you know, about some people. Me and Bill Curtis were talking about some of the people that we knew yesterday, some of the giants in the Baltimore area that we came up with. Them guys was like our mentors, in a sense. You know, these guys were well-established, quite a few millionaires, and very successful people. But they still had that type of mindset that they reached back, and they would sit you down. They were kind of hardcore, but they would sit you down and just tell you the truth, you know, straight up. And I gained a lot from them, you know, over the years. And it gave me to think, you know, I watched the Super Bowl, I watched some of the Olympics, and now I'm watching us. You know, there was a time in the 60s, 70s, 80s, we had not know what they call people that they present as our leaders like they do today, but we had people who rose up all across this country, the H.R.F. Brown, the Malcolm X's, the Martin Luther King's. I mean, we had all types of organizations. You know, these people stood up, Angela Davis. I mean, people were just, Fannie Lou. You know, I mean, people just rose up and did what they had to do in their particular time, in their particular areas. And because of mass media and the control of propaganda, how they use media, they sort of pick your leaders for you now. And of course, because of media, we go along, something most of us go along, because if they say that's the leader, then that's who it is. But we know the truth. We know the difference. But unfortunately, a lot of people do not. you know, it's amazingly, like I say, the power of media. Even myself, as I mentioned many times before, I can pick any one of you on here and put you in the National Black Unity News, and I can be lying through my teeth, make all kind of discouraging things about you. And a majority of the people will
believe you are muted.
Without doing any investigation or anything, they would just believe it. Why would he put something like that in the media if it wasn't true? That's the kind of thought patterns we have. And so can you imagine what the internet is doing to us, to our children? And like I said, from the time you get up in the morning, the time you go to bed, billboards, everything you see, you're being bombarded with all types of subliminal messages. And so I ask questions, but I already have the answers to them sometimes. And I just want to share this with you before I open up the call, because like I said, it's going to be kind of open talk tonight. And I was saying, who are our leaders? You know, who do I consider a leader? And then it just dawned on me, you know, sometimes when you look for answers, you look in all the wrong places sometimes. And you can't trust the media, you know, you can't trust who they say is this and they say is that. But what you can put a little stock is that the people around you, the people that you affiliate with sometimes, the people in your community, your churches, your associates sometimes, people that you know, your family members. I got family members who are truly, you know, is my heroes and stuff, you know. For instance, I had a brother named J.C., that's what we called him. His name was James Carl. And J.C. was a rough little fellow, man, even when he was a little teeny boy. You know, he was a scrapper, hardcore. He used to start fights, you know, when I was a little teeny boy. And you know, he would pick on people way older than him. And the way we came up, we had a pecking order. If you came from a family and your little brother did something to your older brother, the little brother had to take up the fight. If the little brother did something to an older person, that person in his age bracket had to take up the fight. My brother kind of knew this. So he would get his licks out on the big boys, and I end up having to do the fighting. But J.C. grew up, and he was what you call a man's man sort of type of person. And he, you know, he would fight, you know, but he can fight. You know, he could hold his own, but he ended up, got into the drug culture. And he was going around at a certain time in our lifetime, in the 70s and 80s, he would go around and actually would rob drug dealers. And then he ended up using. But when he started using, it got so bad with him that he didn't have any veins. I mean, his arms had abscesses and I mean all over his body. He used to go in the bathroom, stay for hours trying to get drugs into him. You know, that's how bad he was. And he was laying on the couch one day, and I knew he was, you know, on his deathbed, so to speak. And I drove him all over Baltimore City, trying to get him into hospitals. About five different hospitals rejected him. Wouldn't even take him. And then one hospital did take him in, and then he had a transformation in his life. They drafted the skin off his behind to put on his arms. I mean, that's how bad things were with him. But in any case, some brothers came, and they took him to an NA program as he came out the hospital, and he started his recovery. But during his recovery, J.C. still was a powerful brother. And next thing you know, he became like what I call him a Pied Piper. Because J.C. got clean, a lot of serious drug addicts and stuff got clean because of him. They said, J.C. can do it, I can do it. And J.C. sponsored, I almost saw over 100-something people in that NA program. Powerful thing. And like I said, J.C. did some terrible things in his day. But, you know, when he died, he went blind at the end of his days. And you know, he went on to glory. But we have a church in Baltimore called St. Bernardine's. That church was packed up. I mean, people was around the building, you know. That's how popular he was in that culture. And they blocked off the streets. I mean, police department blocked off the street all the way to the graveyard. I mean, police escorts and everything, you know. That's how powerful, you know, what he used to say, from the guttermost to the uttermost, you know, how God can tell, you know, and he would speak truth to power. He would go into a program and he would say things like this to you, you know, on his anniversary. They have an anniversary every year. And these would be some hardcore brothers. I knew some of these brothers, and they were, some of them were stone cold killers. I'm serious when I say that. I mean stone cold killers. This I know, because I witnessed some of that stuff. And he would stand up in front of them and telling his story. And you know, in them rooms, they speak right openly. So I'm gonna say it nicely. But he said he stood in front of all of them guys, packed house. When JC speak, you know, he kind of packed the house. And he looked around, and he said, "I robbed half of you." I ain't gonna say what the rest of them. He said, "I actually robbed it." And you not look at that. I scanned the room, and half of them guys in there were shaking. Yep, he actually robbed. But you know, but then again, just go to show you. And like I said, that's why he's one of my heroes, because I've seen him rise up. I've seen him take a great fall, but I've seen how he recovered. How he not only looked out for himself, but he looked out for his fellow brothers and sisters. Like I said. He helped a lot of people along the way, and you know, I'm well pleased with my brother, you know. And I had a sister, both of them within the issue one time, a few issues ago. I had them on the front, both of my brother and sisters on that front page. And my sister, you know, she ended up, you know, real nice young lady. I mean, she never gave nobody any trouble or something, but you know, she was unique in her own way. But she had cancer. And she was battling this cancer for years. I mean, breast cancer, you know, come back and go. I mean, she went through so much. But, you know, Linda, she carried it so well that you never seen her complain. You never see her, you know, in a bad mood or anything. You know, just like nothing ever was wrong, you know. And I can't now, afterwards, now I can't even imagine the struggle, the pain, the hurt, the stuff that she had to go through. But how she carried, you know. And if I can think of anybody talking about the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, because she was a, you know, God-fearing young lady, but she carried it so well. And she set an example in my life from that day forward, you know, just thinking about the stuff that she went through and did not complain, not to us. You know, she went to God with him. But, you know, I'm just saying, so there's people always around you that you can choose as heroes, as sheroes, whatever you want to call it. And to be quite frank with you, the majority of you on here are my heroes and sheroes as well, because like I said, I sit in good company. And so sometimes I'm saying all of this to say this to each and every one of you is this. Now, we celebrate this thing called Black History Month, but sometimes we need to look at our own true history. Some of the people that's in your own family that you came up with, people that came to your rescue, are all sorts of things that, you know, God has brought you through sometimes. And you don't have to look too far sometimes, because like I say, sometimes you never look at them in that light, how so many people influence you. And like I say, each and every one of you influence me. But in any case, I just want to share that with you, because I do know, like I say, because it just reminds me when I put up all of these pictures around me, and it took me the way, like I say, way back to yesterday, all the way up to where I'm at now, and it's so amazing. So I encourage you to put things around you sometimes, or people around you sometimes that to keep you in the battlefield, keep you motivated, you know, because it's rough times out here. And we, like I said, we're being bombarded with all type of negative stuff, you know, from the media, neighborhoods, and everything else. So, you know, y'all are bright, shining light. And so don't never forget who you are and whose you are, because sometimes, you know, we can be easily turned if we allow ourselves, because we do have choice. Now, again, before I open up the calls, is this, you know, I want to wish everybody again, happy Valentine's Day, and I know sometimes it's been appropriate just to talk about love and this, that, but love is one of the most powerful forces, and it's, some of you may interpret it so many different ways, because you can find love just about anything and anyone, you know, if you choose to, and if you look at things from a certain point of view. But tonight, you know, I just want to talk about a couple of things, and then I want you to talk about what's on your mind as well. Because, like I say, David Murphy, I can go on and on and on about this and about that. But the thing is, on Monday nights, we like to open up the calls and people to share. And there's a gentleman on here tonight. He was so excited because he called me up about a subject. Dr. Pendy, can you unmute yourself, sir? Yeah, give me a minute to come on. But he kind of came to me like, you know, Dr. Pender is older than I am. Really. Are you there, Dr. Pender?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. And I want you to share. I know we just talked, but I don't think this is something that, you want to, hide or anything like that. But tell me what this revelation that you came across recently that you're so excited about.
Well, it's not exactly a revelation. It's just that, I guess you would say, Eureka. I looked at the life of Jesus and why he came here. And actually, it's a rescue mission. And so when you and I were born, you and I were born to perform a rescue mission. Before we were born, every gift that we've ever had, every gift that we have to make it through this world is imputed into us. So when we get here, we came into a war zone. It's because everything is already in chaos. So our duty in life is to let our light so shine. So I'm looking at the life of Jesus and said, wait a minute. The very same people that cried Hosanna were the same people that tried to kill him. And so he prayed a lot. He didn't have to worry about anxiety, fear, all these particulars. It's because he stayed focused on purpose. And if we did the same thing, we wouldn't have some of the problems that we're having. It's because we're on mission. Our mission here is to glorify God. So everything else comes secondary. The only thing it is we have been refocused on the wrong thing. We're focused on being economically, this way and that way. But if you focus on the real deal of why you're here, everything else sort of becomes secondary. In other words, it's the same Ku Klux Klansman that want to lynch you, you're put here to save him by the way that you live. That's bodacious. And I, the 30-some years ago, Curtin Harris's, that was Martin Luther King's right-hand man in Virginia, he told me, he says, I really think we put here to save the white man from himself. And I'm looking at the other day, it just, bam, just popped me upside the head when I began to read scripture. It's because when Jesus was here, the same people that he helped, like the grocery men, and people like that, they wanted to run him out of town. The undertakers didn't like him. The preachers didn't like him. It's because he was talking about the kingdom of heaven. So once you began to become a Christian and be doing those things like helping homeless and so on and so forth, they're not going to like you either. So that's why the Anglo-Saxons are crazy, is because they haven't found a way. So by the way we live, actually it could curtail them from going to hell. But at the same time, we got to go through hell to reach them. That's bodacious. It blew my socks off. I'm saying, wait a minute. The same person that can call me a nigger, I mean, I don't appreciate you. I mean, if you call me one, that you call me one. I don't have to be. I don't react to negativity. I understand it. And so if we go into principles of all this negativity that's happening to us, then look at it from the aspect of a teacher and understanding that you've got a disruptive student, it'll be a whole lot better off than be a reactive person and say, I'm taking it personal. There you are. So, and at the same time, I got to love that person no matter what. It's because I understand what's at stake. I'm here to save that person from himself by my actions. Is that okay. Clear? Is that clear enough, guys?
Yeah. When you called me that day and you were trying to, you was explaining that to me. The way like Jesus, he spoke in parables. But the way I looked at it was like family members, or even your own children. If you have four or five different children, now all of them have their own personalities. And some of them, you should look at your family members. You got some family members that you can hang out with, party with, but you got some family members you have to keep at a distance, because, they would hurt you and abuse if they could.
But
if you allow them.
Love them no matter
what. That's my whole point. That's my whole point. You still love them, but, you don't love their ways, but when it comes down to it, you got their back, and they usually got yours, That's the bottom. That's the way my family operates. We can be fussing and fighting and gnashing the teeth at each other, but But somebody else come in there and starts up, you know, then we join force, you know, out of love and respect for one another. But that's the way I look at that situation sometimes. And then when you mention that, you know, I can go to a lot of scriptures and where, you know, it's talking about the exactly thing you're talking about. When they say sometimes turn the other cheek, that don't mean somebody beating on you all the time. You know, but people can verbally say things to you, but you need to know who you have to know who you are. You know, of course you do. You know, but if you don't know, you will be reactive, and a lot of, and that's the way most of us operate. We reactive, you know. But in any case, I appreciate you for that, sir. And but I'm gonna go to my brother, Bill Gooden. Can you unmute yourself, sir?
Well, I guess I just want to say good evening to everybody and thank y'all for being on. But this conversation really is too deep for me because it would take a lot of to do. Because see, when we're talking about religion and everything, man, you know, like you say, everybody got these different perspectives, right? Mm-hmm. And I know all about, you know, we have to love each other. I know, you know, the world we're in. But, you know, for me, it's always hard to compare. It's always hard to compare time periods because every time is different. It's almost like comparing Jack Johnson to Joe Louis or Joe Louis to Muhammad Ali. You know what I'm saying? The times is different, right? You mm-hmm. know, when we're talking about Jesus, right? Look, man, back then, Jesus wasn't listening to radio or TV. You know what I'm saying? You know, 50 years ago, we didn't have the drug epidemic and the weapon epidemic that we currently have in our community, right? You
right.
know, when we called our community, then at that point, most of the little confectionaries on the corner, we owned. You know, the teachers lived in the same neighborhood mm-hmm. you lived, right? Martin Luther King was doing the right thing in terms of his mind when he was pushing for integration, but integration worked to our disadvantage, not the way that he thought that it would work. So, you know, for me, in terms of religion, I think that it's good we have to have these spiritual conversations. But, you know, I think that we have to just focus in terms of the time that we own and how do we escape this time and how do we change this time around or can we change this time around? You see what I'm saying? Because even if we're going by the Bible, and I'm going to conclude on this because I could talk a lot too, but I know there's other people on here. I'm going to conclude on this. Even if we want to use the Bible as a reference point, right, then, you know, I always say, you know, people have a tendency to pick and choose what they want to use from the Bible, right? You know, so the Bible talks about a lot of the hopeful things, but the Bible also talks about a lot of the doom things, right? So we can use the Bible and say, man, the Bible is predicting everything that's happening in the world right now is supposed to happen. Well, if it's supposed to happen, there's nothing we can really do to reverse it if that's the truth, right?
That's right.
But we
fight
to reverse it. We fight to reverse it because we know that we're supposed to be here trying to make the world a better place, irregardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. So I'm just saying that, you know, it's a heavy conversation to have in terms of our this whole spiritual warfare that we find ourselves in and our place on the world. And I'm going to conclude on that. Keep saying that. I do believe this. I think each one of us have a responsibility to find out why we're here on this earth, right? You owe something to being on this earth because it's a gift that you're here. Now, but you have to find out what that purpose is. You have to seek God and you have to pray because you're here to serve a purpose and trying to make the world a better place, even if we fail at making this better place, right? Because we really look at this entire period, then we can say, listen, what's the difference between how we live in Sodom and Gomorrah?
Hey, Bill, I'm going to ask you a question, but since you want to come on.
This is not about religion, though.
No, let me finish this, sir. I was going to ask Bill something. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I know he ain't going to say nothing about this, but my brother Bill, you know, in a week or so, he's going to be honored by a group called Rooster Scouting. They've been around for a long time. So, you know, I appreciate you, Bill. Congratulations, sir. You deserve it. And, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. And, but I wanted to ask you, so this is what I just want to ask you, though. you know, like I said, you've been out there, you know, that's why they give you this award, because you've been a soldier for a long time. You know, you go out there, you like myself, you know, you go out there with or without. You know, Bill was standing out there in front of a store, protesting, do what he had to do. If he see a wrong, he going to try to right it, you know, and he don't wait for the crowds or the fanfare. He go out there and do what he has to do. That's what's in him. And so, and I'm going to say this about the brother, because, you know, like I said, there's a lot of heroes, and Bill's one of my heroes as well. Let me just say this about him. I know he don't say things like this, but do you know how God works sometimes? You know, he raises up a people, and he puts them in your life for a reason. Now, Bill was the spearhead. God has blessed him with the idea of putting together this group we involved. We call Black Men Unifying Black Men. Bill, the one who invited the brothers to the table, five more brothers, and I was one of them. And then out of this, you know, so many wonderful things have happened. This is what the National Black Unity News came out of, that union, you know. And then we went on to, like, there's a couple other brothers, you know, that the original brothers who started this program. Is this, they got a group called Kiowa. These is a group of black men that spent off from us, and now they buying up houses together, putting their resources together, and you know, they had this thing called Kiowa. Then we have another organization by another one of our members called We Are Us. These brothers go walks around, I'm talking about 50, 60 men at a time. They go to all parts of the city, and they march up on these corners and stuff like this. And what they do, they pull the young brothers, women, anybody up. But see, they don't go in there just talking about this. They got ministers, Nation of Islam, all of these brothers mixed together, you know, locked on, you know, and they come in, and they come strong. And when they come up on you, they don't beat you down. They get off this corner. They bring in resources with them. If you need housing, if you need a job, if you need to get into recovery, you know, they got all that, you know, pretty all that covered. So when they come to you, you know, see, all of this came from out of the seed of that. And then, you know, and Bill started another thing that he pretty much gets there. I told y'all about that time when I came out the hospital. And we had raised this money before I went in the hospital. Matter of fact, around this time last year, I was in the hospital with a stroke. And but Bill had, you know, I participated. But Bill and several of the Vernon's going to. Vernon was one of Brother Rico, Beverly Williams, and I think Wayne Randall, you know, got involved as well. And they and Bill started this, and they raised $11,000 for this brother who's been working in the community for a long time. But he didn't get a lot of fanfare or support from the government or anything, you know, but that brother was committed. So I went into hospital before, you know, it ended. But when I came out, they chose me. And let me say this, you know, because, you know, they chose me, I received some serious funding, more than I'm accustomed to even having. But not only that, but it opened up another thing. See, what happened was these people was raising money for me, but in return, they, all of a sudden, all of these stories was on Facebook. David did this and David did that, and this, this, I'm not accustomed to hearing that. And it was kind of, it was strange in so many ways in my life, because first of all, I'm not used to receiving, period, and I'm not used to getting accolades either, you know. But there were so many people, 60, 70 people donated, and they were saying some nice things about the brother, and it turned me around mentally, also spiritually. It also makes, you know, when you look back over your life, because another thing happened, because they honored me, the type of person I am, I've decided to honor other people. And I invited 60, 70 people to this event that I said, you know, I want to honor them, because these are the people that I met along the way who were putting in work, young, old, and everything else. But when I called these people up, I said, I wanted to honor you. They said, you know what they did? They turned around and started telling me what I did for them. And so, you know, it turned spiritually to me, because they took me on a journey, things I had forgotten about. And see, this all because of brother like Bill, who planted some seeds. And so that's why I say, you know, sometimes people don't even realize, you know, the things they do, the implements that, you know, they could. Dr. Pender, like, for instance, you know, he comes up with so many great ideas that can turn this world upside down, and like the rest of you. And so, you know, I'm just saying, hey, Brother Bill, I just appreciate you, brother, and you keep doing what you're doing, man, and congratulations, man. You know?
Thank you.
All right, and so we're going to move on. Like I said, you know how I do it. I'm going to pick on people, And she knows she coming to Fran out. Can you unmute yourself, please? Yeah, you still muted. Oh, there you go. You got it.
You blanked out for a second. I didn't hear you call my name. You know, I'm not shy. You know, I would have unmuted.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, how you doing?
I'm great.
You know, let me share this. You know, I'm talking about now. I guess I how conversations go sometimes. You know, just go for, you know, what's on your mind, what's on your heart. The other day, I got a text message from France saying her pastor, her pastor called her and made an announcement. I'm going to let her explain it. But, you know, but Fran had this idea, and it's been in the last two or three issues of the National Black Unity Union. She got a different page in there talking, you know, talk youth writers, youth organizations and stuff, you know. And Fran, tell a little bit about that story, how you thought about this and how pastor ended up just recently, you know, open up that door. How God opened the door, but he used the pastor.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Good evening, everybody. How you doing? Okay, so gosh, last fall, I suppose, I got this idea to create a contributing writer opportunity with the National Black Unity News, and I have a second page that I support in the paper, and I was using it to support the Building Young Entrepreneurs program, but they are having a lot of turmoil and financial tribulation, so they're sort of on hold for a moment. And while they're on hold, I decided that I was going to use the space to give an opportunity to bring on some young youth contributing writers, and I call it young motivators. And I talked to my pastor about it because I thought, well, you know, I get kids in the church. Let's give kids in the church a voice and let's put some articles in the paper written by these young people. Except for the young people thought it was too much work. I was like, y'all don't understand the opportunity. I talked to them more about the opportunity and they still didn't want to do the work. And then I talked to pastor and I was like, well, you know, the opportunity is still available. I don't know, you know, they don't seem like they want to take advantage of it. So I'm going to start scouting and I'm going to find some young people who want to put an article in the paper and we are going to increase their writing skills. And when they get right and I think they can pass the Barbara Watties evaluation, then I'm going to put them in the paper. I'm going to push it to Dr. Watties, let her clean them up, and we're going to put them in the paper. So anyway, on Sunday, this past Sunday, it had been some weeks or so, several weeks since I had had that conversation with Pastor, and we didn't, you know, really pursue it any further. But I'm learning patience. I'm learning that, you know, God does things in his time. He doesn't do things in my time. And I had to wait. And I had to be patient, and I had to be quiet, and I had to wait for him to tell me when it was time to go. And Sunday, I'm sitting in church, minding my own business, and Pastor says, oh, by the way, she doesn't know this yet, but, and he created a whole space for me to have this writer's workshop. He called it a workshop. I don't know if it's going to be a workshop, but I know I'm going to work with these kids. But, He just called it into existence. Sister Fran is going to do this with our children, and she's going to help them write, and this is going to help them in so many different ways, and we're just blessed to have her. And I'm thinking like, oh, you know, I don't do accolades real well. I don't, when people are blowing my horn, I'm like David, man. I'll get behind the curtain and just stick my hand out, you know. But he made me raise my hand and had all the people looking at me. And then, and you know, of course, I went straight to the flesh place. I could have done something with my hair. I didn't wear the right sweater. But God is good. And I'm going to use this opportunity to give some kids a voice and put them in the National Black Unity News and show them what it really looks like, you know, to do a little work.
Amen.
Amen. But guess what? See, that's what I'm talking about. See, Fran is another one. that plant seeds all over the place. You know, plant, y'all don't know, but plant be all out. Every time I was up there, I had to turn on Lee Filcher. There she was. I had to turn on Brother High Key Show one day. She is. Fran be doing it, you know, but you know, almost everything else that she does. But see, the point I'm trying to make right now, the way God is leading, you see Dr. Pender and all the people like that, you got Bill Gooden, and then you got Fran Allen. You know, they do these things because that's what's in their hearts. You know, they just do them naturally. But see, but you know, sometimes they don't even realize the impact. Like I say, a lot of times, like us, we don't get a lot of people patting us on the back and, you know, hey, y'all the stuff and stuff like that. But the reality is, though, people like you all, you touch a lot of people's lives. And just like, you know, I don't want to keep hopping on religion or anything like that, but it's great examples in that Bible. When Jesus helped about 10 people one time, and only one came back to thank him. You know, and so that's the way life really is. You know, you can go out here and do work. Most people, like I said, I never knew until Bill made that move that I touched a lot of people's lives until I got on that call and said, I want to honor people. I didn't even really. It was just wasn't even no thought. But see, one seed can go from this person to that person to that person. And Fran talked about this some time ago. She mentioned to the pastor, then all of a sudden, then the seed just started, it's a process, but she friend, you know, through God, through friend, she planted that seed, and that's just one little incident, but friend been doing this all pretty much all her life, all over the place, you know. Go ahead, friend.
Let me just share one other blessing that is going to come out of this. As I was around doing the food ministry at church this morning, Sisters was talking about, yeah, Pastor called you out on Sunday, and we were laughing about it, right? I was like, yeah, you know, you got to be careful with him because Pastor don't tell you anything. He just tell the church, and you find out when everybody else do. So we were, you know, giggling about that. And then one of the other sisters said, well, is there, you know, how do you get the paper? And I said, you buy a subscription. It just came out just like that. Because, see, I could have just given her a paper, but that's not what God put on my heart. God said, tell her she can buy a subscription. And she said, all the kids that are in this writing program, as they get their articles in the paper, their parents and their family members ought to be buying subscriptions too to support these kids. How much are they? And when I told her how much they were, she said, well, shoot, if the parents don't want to buy the subscription for the children, you need to let us know because we'll sponsor them with a subscription. And I thought, look at God just taking off. He just stood up. He just showed out. He just showed out. So, but it all started with a conversation. It all started with a simple conversation. Pastor, I got this idea for a writing program with the kids. What you think? And that's how it started. That's how it started. So, you know, I'm expecting that we are going to, I am claiming that we are going to have our first article in the National Black Unity News from the Young Motivators in the April issue. In the next issue, we are going to have an article. We're starting by journaling, and we're going to pick a Black person that's either a historical figure or a leader in the community, and we're going to write a story about why we picked that person, what they mean to us.
That's powerful.
And our foundational scripture is Hebrews 11:1, which is the one about faith. Yeah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, because that's your imagination, and we write from our imaginations. Yeah. So there we have it. Pray over it. Lift it up, because it's going to be successful.
Definitely.
It's going to be successful. So I appreciate all your prayers.
All right. Thank you so much. Sister Trudy, you had your hands up.
I actually was clapping for praying.
Oh.
I mean, because that's a good, it starts here. And then once you start to speak it, you know, the light, the power of life and death is in the tongue. So she started speaking it and it came to fruition. So that's great, and that's wonderful. I can't wait until the March issue, because my idea for the next 90 days is going to be a challenge for us. You know, so I've been thinking about it, marinating over it, praying over it, and, you know, I'll put it out there in a couple weeks and see what happens. So I'm speaking that too.
All right.
All right.
I appreciate
well, we
that.
We receive you.
Yeah, right. Okay. You know, there's another brother. Brother Leroy, can you, Dr. Leroy, can you unmute yourself, sir? You know, now this gentleman, now, and like I say, how things work out sometimes. Now Brother Leroy belongs to quite a few organizations too. You know, he's involved. Now he's like friend. He's here, there, and everywhere. You know, this brother podcasting, interviewing. I mean, constantly. And one day we decided with the National Black Unity News to do this book fair. Just so happened, he belongs to this group called Black Professional Men. Here we were black, you know, we come together. We both decided to have a book fair the same day, the same hour, you know. And when we got a wind of it, it didn't make sense for us to split our own people, you know, because we going after the same audience and everything like that. So we decided to delay ours and put ours back a couple of months. But we supported his. We took four or five vendors to his event. And then when we had our event, Brother Leroy came to our event. And then he and I got to talking about this showcase. Now, I'm going to tell you about how seeds get dropped. Now, he interviewed so many people, and he actually brought a lot of people on, the Tuesday night calls. But what you don't know was this. Brother Leroy, you know, he introduced us. He brought in several people into the paper. Him sharing the word. And this is how, you know, indirectly, he brought in this young lady. Actually, I was on the same show that he was hosting with this young lady named Myra. And she was in the a couple issues back. And through Myra, we met Ruth Ministries. That's how Ruth Ministry came on board, through how Brother Leroy, you know, did like this. And see, this is what I'm saying sometimes when you go out there and you share and just do what you continue to do. You never know how this reaction is going to take, like a chain effect sometimes. You know, you say something here, that 2 months later somebody else did something, this, that, and stuff. Most of the time you never even knew what happened. You have no clue, no idea. And like Brother Leroy don't know that, you know, just like Vernon did. Vernon was at the mall one day. And he met this guy with these games. He was excited about it. And, you know, he shared some information. Next thing you know, we got Brother Paris White with us now. You know, and same thing with, what's his name, Wayne Randall. You know, so people always, when you drop seeds, sometimes you never know where they're going to germinate at and how things work out. And like I say, again, ladies and gentlemen, you never, ever know the full impact of your impact. Because most of the time you never knew, because you did this like Leroy didn't have a clue who Ruth Ministry was. And he didn't, you know, and still don't really, you know him anything. But because of his action, they are working with us. And so, again, Brother Leroy, how you doing, sir?
Awesome. Awesome. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening, brother. It is always wonderful to be here with everybody this evening.
Brother Leroy, you mentioned something, exercise, and you know, I'm going to tell y'all something about the National Black Unity News. I don't want to share all of it, but you know, I got so many books from y'all. I got a whole library with people. I'm serious, just within the National Black Unity News, a library. And some of the books, I always open them and read a few paragraphs or try to scan through them, but guess what? The other day, like I said, I get up 3 o'clock every morning and every day. So now, because of this brother, because of the seed that he's planted, I say at least I can do that. You know, that's a source of I can read those 20 pages a night. You know, and now I'm getting into all of these books. And guess what? All man, again, y'all some powerful people. And I still got all his books. I got so many other books. Y'all got, I mean, y'all popping up these books, man, quite regular. But, you know, but again, like let me see, one, two, three, two of you on here right now. No, three of you on here. I don't know. I know Dr. Pender got three or four books. I know Bill got six or seven books. Brand got five or six books. And Brother Leroy, I don't know how many he got. How many books you have, sir, that you wrote?
Total of 10.
Man. So, but in any case, you know, I mean, I don't know how y'all doing. That's one thing I always desire to do is to write a book. And I did an e-book one time, but it's not like sitting down. But you know, but again, Brother Leroy, I just want to let you know that I appreciate you, sir, because you bring that type of wisdom, you know, information, man, that you know, can change people's lives. Sometimes, like I say, you only know the effect of the things that you say and the thing, because you're a very wise man. And again, I want you to share that formula with us, how to do these books and stuff, you know, and why it's so important that we start picking up these books and putting down these TVs and sitting down these cell phones and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
you got it, sir.
Yeah, that's actually it, and what I'm learning myself too. But about a year, it's been last year, but it was in 2021 or 2020. I was listening to a brother, and he was talking about reading, and he was saying, he said this simple thing. He said, you know, if you were to read 20 pages a day, you will have read on average about 30 books in a year, in a 12-month time frame. I was like, because I'm an avid reader and I like to read, and I had a routine that I would do. I'm trying to read a chapter a day and this, that, and the other. And when I heard him say that, it gave me a simplistic way of being able to read books. That's 20 pages. It takes you maybe 30 minutes to an hour, depending on how thick the book is. So I started implementing it, and I started doing it. And, I mean, like you, Brother David, I'm literally reading five books at one time, and it's crazy. But what I'm finding is it has become a part of my lifestyle, you know, and it's become I got to read today. Have I done about 20 pages today? And I'm actually reading more than 20 pages, but I wanted to show y'all this, and you and Mr. Bill, they appreciate this. This is the book by Dr. King called Why We Can't Wait. This is about the Civil Rights Movement in the 60s, which I'm just fascinated by him and what they talk about there, because all of this stuff that I'm finding in this book and the next one I'm going to tell you all about are this issues are the same issues that we were dealing with back then. And I know y'all can't see the cover. Maybe I'm going to take this off here because I got them from the library. But this one is Operation Breadbasket. It's kind of blurred out. But this is Operation Breadbasket. This is the movement that they had in Chicago in the mid 60s, and their boycotting and their strategy for how they were able to get grocery stores to be able to sell black products in the stores up there. It started there, and this was what Reverend Jesse Jackson headed, and Operation Breadbasket became the Rainbow Push Coalition. It turned into that, but he was the head of that. Dr. King put him as the head of that, the Operation Breadbasket. But reading about that and this coalition of pastors and ministers and rabbis that came together up in Chicago to galvanize and to get employment for the, you know, for us. In not only in the stores, but also the products in the stores. It's just been a couple of great reads for me to kind of see the strategies that they have and to see the formulas that they use as far as how they were able to, you know, increase our employment rate, how they were able to increase the amount of dollars that stayed in our community up there. And it filtered out a little bit before it kind of went away, but the impact that it had up in Chicago and then around the country at that particular time and everything. So just reading books like that have just really enhanced what I'm doing, and then having that formula of the 20 pages a day. So I'm reading these both at the same time, you know, like 10 pages each. And sometimes I'll read more than that, but at a minimum of 20 pages, some 20 pages. And it's just really, it's increased what I wanted to do and then what I'm trying to do as far as being able to just impact what we talk about all the time, our community. It's like the I'm not going to say blueprint, the black print is already there for the things that we're trying to do and that we talk about and everything like that. So that's what you know, reading these kind of books do for me, have done for me, and it assists hopefully us in being able to be able to learn more, increase our vocabularies, of course, and just it exercises the muscle of the mind too, which is what I found too, because the more you read, the avid reader, you're exercising your mind, and it gives you, as we get older, it kind of keeps us from, I believe, keeps us from getting Alzheimer's or getting dementia, you know, those kinds of things, because we're active. We're keeping our mind active. We're using that muscle that is our, you know, that is our brain and everything like that. So that's what that formula is, Brother David, is about the 20 pages a day, you know, and you'll read at least 30 books in a year.
All right, that's powerful, man. That you just drop another pearl of wisdom. You know, I never thought about it in that angle, because when you exercise your mind like that, like you say, can prevent, you know, like I say, also prevention, you know. And but then again, we discussed this a couple of weeks ago, but the power in those books.
Yeah.
You know, if we start opening up some books, the wisdom and knowledge that we can gain just by reading books. And so, man, we got some avid readers on there. Bill Gooden can sit down and read books just like that. I'm amazed at how people can do that. I mean, he's reading a whole thick book in one setting, you know. And but like you said, Brother Haki is like that as well. But, you know, like I say, but it's a great idea for people like myself who don't have the attention span sometimes. But now I can handle that 20 pages, though. And I can deal with that. But again, Dr. Watiz, before you go, you want to share anything before you go? She may have left already.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, let me just share this. As Dr. McKenzie was speaking, I was doing a little math. And if we read 20 pages a day and we limit ourselves to books that are around 150 pages, let's just say that, you know, because a lot of people don't like to pick up the 300-page, 400, 500-page books because they're daunting. But if you pick up a book that's about 150 pages, if you read 20 pages a day, you can knock the book out in a week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Exactly. 7.3 days, 8 days, and you can read 150 pages, 8 days, if you read 20 pages a day. If you read 20 pages a day and you pick up a book that's 250 pages, you can knock it out in 12 days if you're diligent. 12 days to read a 250-page book. Now, none of my books are more than 150 pages because my attention span isn't that long. I don't want to write one that is more than 150 pages, so I'm not so sure I'm interested in reading one that's more than 150 pages because I'm lazy sometimes. But 20 pages a day, you can do this. You can do this 20 pages a day, and you don't have to read them all 20 at the same time. You can read 5 in the morning, 5 at lunchtime, and 10 at night, or 10 in the morning and 10 at night, or 5, 4 times during the day, and you knock out your 20 pages anyway. So we can get creative with this, but at the end of the day, the development and expansion, the expansion of our vocabulary, one,
yeah,
and the development of our idea process is another, that it becomes so far beyond anything that we could comprehend at this moment because we expand our brains and make room for it. See, right now we're not expanding our brains. So the idea, there's no room for the idea right now. When you do that reading, and you put those new words in your mind and you put those new concepts in your mind and those new ideas in your mind, you'd be surprised how much further your mind will expand to accommodate the stuff that you want to put in it.
Yeah,
I agree wholeheartedly. And, you know, and I don't know if he's available. There you go. Michael Haney, can you unmute yourself, sir? And this brother here, you know, I have a great deal of respect for, you know, because, you know, I see Michael, you know, through the grapevine, just like I met Bill, I knew of Mike, but we really never had a real deep conversation till recently. And, but he has a podcast. He does a lot of things, but he has a podcast that's powerful. Now, I really enjoy his podcast because I learned so much from him. Like I told you that time when he had Dr. Zolikoff on there, and they were talking about, this COVID. And he brought up these statistics, and he was saying that at that time, this was a couple of months ago, that here in the United States, we had lost over 800,000 people through COVID. Then he went on to mention that the entire continent of Africa only had about 200,000 deaths. And he said the simple reason was because they wore masks. With all the technology, all that money, and everything we have in this country, all the resources, there's something is wrong with that picture. See, you know, this is where information comes from. You know, not only reading, but we got brothers like Brother Haney on here who bring people on to share all these pearls of wisdom. You know, he brought quite a few. He had Dr. Tyrone Powell and a couple other people. I mean, he just brings stuff. You know, they get real deep in their conversations. Brother Haney, how you doing, sir?
Hey, David, thanks a lot, man, and good to see everyone on this call. And, you know, we talked about how in America we monetize medicine, and we know in our community it's important that we ensure people get treated. But monetizing medicine in our country means that people that die and people that sick is how many people make money. And that's another reason why we have so many deaths. But, David, you know, it's just good, so good to listen to others and to be able to share information and community. And it's important for me to learn how to listen and to listen for information. And Fran, I got to say, the reason I got your books years ago, because they were just over 100 pages, because my attention span, like David said, isn't that good either, you know? But, you know, I was listening to what Bill said about God has a purpose for us. And, you know, where I'm at right now is just sitting still and listening for what God has for me next as an assignment. There's so much going on. My head gets so cluttered and so crazy because there's so much I want to do because tomorrow's not promised to me, you know, and I don't know what I want to accomplish or what I can accomplish in whatever time I have left. And so there's a sense of urgency with everything that I do. But sometimes God says, sit down, sit still, and listen. And so that's the space I'm in now. I really appreciate you, David, calling on me. Just a phenomenal opportunity for me to continue to learn. And I may not be able to read 20 pages a day, but coming on here, and I haven't been here in a couple of weeks because of life getting in the way, and listening to brothers like Mackenzie, yourself, and Bill, and Fran, and Wadi's and Ruth Ministries, I can't tell you how much it has made a difference in my life, in my perspective, because the only way we're going to improve as a community is to continue to share and compare information with each other and to continue to learn from each other with credible sources. And this is a credible opportunity every Monday at 7:30 for me. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thank you, sir. And keep doing what you're doing because, like I say, you know, it takes the village. And I get so much information from you all. Like I say, I love doing this because I'm the one who gains from it. And because, like I say, I get insight every week. Come on there, I learn something new. And so right now I'm at that stage in life. I'm impressed. I'm amazed, but I just love the point in my life now that I know that I know. I just love to see how God just worked not only in my life but other people's lives as well, and how he you know just orchestrates everything way beyond our understanding. And with that being said, this is the time, ladies and gentlemen, that, you know, it ain't all about what I'm thinking or, you know, but it's about what you're thinking. So if you'd like to, we have some time left over. You know, I want to call on everybody, but, you know, but that would take some serious time. And so if, you know, some people want to share, some people may not. And so this is the time to do so. You can open up your, unmute yourself, be respectful of each other if you want to share some information. Here it is, Black History Month, Valentine's Day, and all of this good stuff out here. And your opinion is valuable. Your thoughts are valuable as far as I'm concerned. So anybody would like to share before we shut this thing down? Just speak on up.
Yes, David. Thank you. Michael Thomas here. Greetings, everyone. It is always a pleasure, and it seems like the pleasure is getting greater. You know, the more we come on, you know, it's getting greater. And backing up to what Brother Satawi said about Dr. Dennis Kimbrough, who wrote the book called The Wealth Choice, about the poverty in our nation, you know, among us, that 9 million of us are in poverty out of roughly 40 million, 25% of us are in poverty. And it's beyond a shame because we have the intellect, you know, to deal with it, you know. And so we'll this is the real news. When I come on here, this is the real news. I get the news report from each of you. You know, you're very articulate with the news. And Dr. Pender, you know, mentioned about the bodaciousness of Jesus, you know, and the time in which he lived, and the negative, contrary activities against him for being so bold and speaking out. And it applies to us today. In any of these stories, it applies to us today. As Brother Bill Gooden always expressed in his work, you have to go out there and do it whether people like it or not, you see, and it's on you. And so by having such a coalition of knowledge here, it is a wealth for a legacy for our people. And it just spawned in my mind, you know, a film production by the name of Walk with David, you know, Walk with David Murphy. I was just listening to David, and if I could just be at the end of these walks where his shoes are standing, and all of these things, you know, these episodes in life that he's seeing, you know, and that he's reporting to us, it's a great film production, you know, that would attract the mass of attention that he mentioned, the millions of people in the Super Bowl. I believe that film production would attract as much attention as this Super Bowl marketed correctly. So I have this thing in mind. I have these things in mind, you know, and I get this from the National Black Unity News. And the National Black Unity News, just not a newspaper. This is the National Black Unity News right here where it's actually live. You know, the editors, you know, are live. And it's bringing into my mind this idea of the books, you know, the authors, you know, and the authenticity of the authors, you know, and expressing how dynamic authorship is, or how dynamic the world of books are, is. This is something huge here, and I'm still formulating it in my mind so that I can develop something out of it. And I'm very, very happy to be on this pro team. This is the real pro team, and I'm a rookie on the team. I'm very delighted to be among you guys. I honestly am. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I appreciate you, sir. You know I do. You know something, you hit on something. I'm a Bill friend, Dr. McKenzie, and High Key is on here too, just came on board, Dr. Pender. Now, because I told you I had a desire, and I just heard another brother just say he has a desire as well, and I believe Trudy does as well. You see, y'all have penned these books. Y'all had took the time to sit down. And just, you know, just very briefly, I know you have inspiration, but what gave y'all that thing to go all the way through, to start the book, to finish the book? You know, maybe because of a person like myself, you may drop some pearls of wisdom on me. How do you formulate, how do you get started, or what? You know, anyone of y'all can jump in who wrote these books.
Okay. I'm gonna jump in, Dave. You know, first of all, I always say this to everybody. You know, I don't think there's no certain way to start writing your book, right? You know, I mean, we was under the myth that, you know, you have to have the King's English or however we call it, and, you know, the certain way to structure your book. I think, you know, the main thing is to start writing, right? Once you start writing, whatever you're writing about, it's going to all start coming together, man. You're writing about your life, then as you write, then things are going to all come together. And as you read what you're writing, then you just constantly put it together. I think the hard to it is this, is to give yourself a reason not to do it, right? Because you think that it's a certain way that you're supposed to do it. You know what I'm saying? If you throw away that, then you can get started. That's how I see it, right? Because Bill Gooden is not one of them educated people. I don't know where the comma's supposed to go and the period's supposed to go and all that, but I know that I have something to say. I know that I have something that, you know, I need to give to other people for them to measure it and for them to have an opportunity to hear what I say, right? So I'm just saying, don't give yourself a reason not to do what something in your heart for you to do. And if it's to write a book, I'm just saying, get started. You know what I'm saying? Don't listen to nobody else in terms of, well, you need to do this, you need to do that. No, just get started, man. Get started how you want to get started, and let your book and let your words just come out how they need to come out. Because however they come out, then somebody needs to hear what you have to say. And that's my position.
All right. Next.
Anybody ever heard of Sam and Dave? Anybody ever heard of Sam and Dave?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Bill and Dave? Amen.
I heard of them too.
Go ahead, Brother Kenzie.
Just to kind of piggyback with Mr. Bill, Brother Bill was saying, and getting started, to me, it's all about getting what's in your head down, written in your computer, or, you know, just written, even if you handwrite it out. Because here's the thing, once you get it on paper, you get it into a computer, and get it, you know, just get it somewhere, you're going to have it edited anyway. And the editor can help you to put the pieces of the puzzle together. You know, but it's a matter of getting what you have in your head on paper, and then you can begin to shape and mold it almost like a potter, where it has a piece of clay. You got to mold it. It'll be shaped. It'll be molded. And your editor should be there to be able to make sure that it flows the way that it flows. It's structured the way it's supposed to be structured. The vision that you have for what it is that you're trying to say, you know, and you have to go in on knowing what it is that you want the reader to come away with. Know your purpose for why you're writing the book, just like, you know, what it is that you want to say and then what you want the reader to come away with. With those two things, you can build the book itself, because you'll start to figure out what it is that you want to say, and then you structure how it is that you want to be able to say it, and that moves you into creating the manuscript, and then the editor can create the assist you in being able to make sure that it's all prettied up and look good and has the King's English, as Brother Bill said, all those things that need to be done to it to polish it too. So that would be what I would say.
I appreciate that. Good information. Anybody else? Authors?
Well, I'll go. Just journaling. I have been journaling since high school, and that's a long time. And then one day I need to make some money. I'm going to be real. I need to make some money. And I thought, what do I have that I can sell? And the thing that came to me was my thoughts. And I was like, wow, who is going to buy my thoughts? But my thoughts turned into four books. And the first book that I wrote on a challenge, I was doing some motivational speaking on a Monday night with Michael Clark and Chris Heidelberg and some other dudes, and I was the only chick. And I light up a room, and then I didn't have anything to sell. They had tapes. They had poems. They had all kinds of little mementos that they could sell. And I'd go, and everybody would stand up. They'd give me a standing ovation, and then I'd leave the room. And they'd like, where'd she go? I went home. I didn't have anything to sell. Shoot, I was beating the traffic. But I was meant to turn over the dollar because aside from the words, I didn't even have a recording to sell. I mean, it taught me a lot about marketing and merchandising and branding myself. But my thoughts, I went home and I put some thoughts together. And 14 hours later, God gave me a book. It's my smallest book. It's only about 35, 40 pages, but it's powerful because I defined words. And when you can change the way a person thinks, you can change the way they behave. And when you change the way they behave, you raise the quality of their life. And so that little 35 page book, I had the most amazing marketing team. The most amazing marketing team, and I never knew that they possessed this power. But my first marketing team were my daughter and my son. I dressed them up all cute. People couldn't resist them, and they would run up to people and say, my mommy wrote this book. Won't you buy my mommy's book? And people couldn't resist the children, and I made enough money off that first book to buy a secondhand car. I was broke as two jokes. But that book bought me a car, and my kids, they sold the books. They got the car. I mean, it was just my thoughts on some paper. So journal. Write your thoughts down because those thoughts are golden. They're worth a lot of money. Your thoughts are worth a lot of money. You know, stop thinking that, oh, it's just me. Nobody will listen to me. People bought that book and asked me if I had another book. And I thought, a second book? Wow, that's a concept. Because I hadn't even thought about being an author. I just needed to make some cash.
Well, you know something, Fran? You really struck a nerve with me because I don't know, like I heard Mr. Haney just say it. My mind is like this. My mind is always cluttered with thoughts. Ever since I can remember, I sometimes never could relax. I'm beginning to relax now, but because it was so many so many things that I want to do and can do or should do, and sometimes you get so caught up in it, you don't end up doing anything. Sometimes, you know, and you just put stuff on the back burner. But you said something very important because I got all of this stuff and some of the stuff come to my mind. I am truly amazed that you know, but I don't jot them down. And I done lost so many great thoughts. I mean, stuff, sayings that I used to come in early in the morning because I didn't have a pen and pencil beside me, and I didn't journal. And then next thing, I couldn't remember to save my life, you know. So Dang. It's important. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I'm going to start doing that as well.
You got to get good with your phone, too, because now I voice memo. My habit is to write it out longhand. Something about jotting it down on the paper is part of the creative process for me. But when I don't have any paper or it's inconvenient for me to be digging around trying to find a notepad or something to write it out, I'll send myself a voice message or I'll text myself the thought. And then when I get home, I take it out of my phone and put it in my journal. That's just my process. That doesn't have to be, but find things that you have that you carry with you all the time and use those things to record your thoughts. If you're sending text messages to 400 people about stuff that they're not going to remember and don't really want to know, you can use it to send yourself stuff that you know you don't want to forget.
Makes sense to me.
In your phone, there should be or you should have it's a note app.
Yeah,
you can put notes in there because I do the same thing. I put notes in there if I have an idea or something like that. But I also have what's called a book of notes. It's a composition notebook. Any thoughts that I have, that goes with me. I have that with me. I can jot it down write it down, and then if I need to come back to it, of course, you know, I can come back to it. Those are just two tools that you can use that are at your immediate, you know, disposal to be able to use. Your phone is right there because you always have your phone with you, so you can just, oh, let me type that in there real quick. I can have it in there, or like Fran was saying, you can text it to yourself. That way you have it. Or if you have the time and you have your book of notes with you, you can actually sit there and write it out for a second or whatever, and then be able to come back to those thoughts. Because, like you said, friend, your intellectual capital is powerful.
It's powerful and it's priceless. And look, you can stop taking all them selfies and start doing some self videos.
Yep.
Stop looking at yourself. Start talking to yourself, okay? You already know what you look like. Stop looking at yourself and start talking to yourself and capture those ideas, capture those moments, capture that information. Because once it's gone, it's gone. God is going to give it to you, and he's giving it to you to see what you're going to do with it. Are you going to jot it down so that you can capitalize on it and develop it into some amazing billion-dollar idea? Or are you going to say to yourself, that's stupid. I'm not going to do that. And then you miss out on your opportunity to go to the bank.
And then get mad when you see somebody else.
Then get mad. That's right. That's right. Somebody else went to the bank on your idea because you wouldn't write it down.
Yep.
And you know what happened? God took it back and gave it to somebody else.
Yes, that has happened many occasions, many a time. Yeah, I thought of that 10 years ago.
Say it. That's right. That's right. And could have went to the bank 42 million times, but you didn't because you were disobedient and rebellious. Stop being rebellious and disobedient. Start talking to yourself on this phone. All that money you paid for it, make it earn, make it work for you. Get a little return on your investment going on this thing.
I heard that. Okay. Ruth Ministry. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
I
brother.
I don't have ideas about writing a book, but I do have ideas about starting a business because there's so many times we see something that we want to do and we don't do it, as Fran said, because we think, oh, that's stupid. Who will buy that? And a lot of people, they don't go in business for themselves. My friend said she got into writing because she needed to make a book. So it prompted a business idea in her. And she was already doing motivational speaking, but she didn't have nothing to sell. So it just complimented what she selling and creating a book complimented her in terms of being able to reach an audience. But for those people out there who are not sure about going in business for yourself, because, you know, you might be saying, well, who would buy from me? What I got to sell? What I got to offer people? When I first got into the tax business, a lot of people, they question me, say, well, taxes, why you want to take that on that business? It was because I could teach people how they could save money by, as long as they had a job that they paid taxes on. They could, having a home-based business, they could be able to increase their tax refund because most people are overpaying their taxes by $3,000 to $9,000 a year. And that's a fact. But by having a home-based business, you alter that equation. And I always was good with math, and so that it just fit in. So, I mean, that's why I read numbers in my head. And so I learned how to take that talent and use it as a gift. And then when I was in New Orleans and I was raising my grandson, he bought a lot for me because we had this thing we used to do with the Black Men's Business Association of New Orleans. We used to have a thing that we used to meet once a week. And my grandson, he would be the one to introduce me. And when he would introduce me, he'd say, make sure y'all listen to my granddaddy because you might have an idea for going into business for yourself, but you don't think it's a good idea, and he'll show you how to turn that idea into some money. And so, you know, that's my take on it. I mean, but y'all got some great ideas for getting people started in writing, and I'm an avid reader, so, I mean, I try to do 30 pages a day, Leroy, and that's because if you do 30 pages a day, within a month, you could be read a 300-page book. And so,
you know, that's my little two cent here. And I just wanted to.
No. There ain't no two cents, brother. That's wisdom and knowledge you're adding. And I appreciate that, sir. And but you know, I'm gonna get to Ruth Ministries that they chair the people. They had this thing where they would say, you know, they say when they get up in the morning, they ask God what he have for them to do today. And you know, sometimes in meditation, for those of you who do that in prayer and things like that, you know, you can sit down sometimes, man, and meditate, and all sorts of thoughts and ideas come to you. You know, I used to have this thing. You know, I would kill, what you say, two or three birds with one stone. I would get up in the morning. My house is a living room, dining room, and the kitchen, but you can walk in a circle in them. You know, they all, you know, open up to each other. You can walk in a circle. And when I would exercise, you know, sometimes I would walk two or three miles sometimes. I used to have my little thing on my watch thing, you know, it would time my steps. And when I'm walking, I get quiet and just walk. Then I start listening to my breathing, and then all of a sudden, all sorts of thoughts start flowing. It's like being in a stage of media. I mean, you know, I can feel myself walking, but the thoughts are just flowing. I mean, you know, and so, because my mind is clearing up, and because, I mean, stuff sometimes had me in tears sometimes, the way these great thoughts, because I didn't do what friends say do, I didn't have my phone with me, I could have spoke those words into that phone and then later on jot them down. I mean, some great things. I mean, stuff that just, some aha moment, the light bulbs and everything else will come up in. And you'd be surprised, like I said, when you get up early in the morning and you ask and you shall receive. And you know, I'm going to close this thing up, but guess what? The beauty about what we had here tonight, you know, everybody shared, but you know, the thing is, you can write that book, you can start that business, you know, but guess what else? We have everything we need right here. We have help people that can help you write your book. Got all kinds, like you already heard, all types of things. And there's all types of things that, you know, God, even your gifts will make a way for you. And if you nurture those gifts, you work those gifts, you know, they ain't going to just come, you know, things just don't pop up sometimes. But again, we have people around who are willing to work with you, willing to share with you in so many different aspects of your life. But sometimes you say you got to ask sometimes. You know, we can't be afraid of one another not to ask, you know, for some help or just for some guidance. Because that's what I was doing tonight. Now, guess what? There's no excuse, none whatsoever, for me that I start writing that books. And there's no reason right now for me not to read these books. All those books I got lined up that need to be read. And because, like I said, if I read them, because when I do read them, I get so much wisdom and knowledge out of them. And can you imagine you giving and receiving at the same time? You putting your thoughts down, and plus while you reading, other thoughts will come to you, and all of these things. Like I said, everything is at our hand right now. You know, it just that. And like Fran said, those same thoughts, those same ideas. Some of us, you know, we got money crisis. You know, those same ideas can make some money for us, you know. Those gifts were given to us for a reason, and you'd be surprised. I was talking to Trudy about a couple of weeks ago. She was telling me that I didn't know about her managerial skills and, you know, things that she, you know, she does, you know, just come natural to her. And I was telling her, I said, you know what, so many people in the paper could utilize those services. And that's a gift, and that gift can make a way for you. And so, like I say, ladies and gentlemen, before we close this down, I know we had some people didn't speak. Bishop Hawthorne is on here. We got Ruth Ministries on here. We got Brother High Key, who has not said it. Mr. Murphy, I think he had left because he said he's not feeling too hot. Keep him in prayer. And we got Vernon on here. So do y'all want to share? You know, I like to spread it around. So if you want to say things in parting before we go off, you know, I appreciate it because your words are powerful, they're meaningful, and they can be extremely helpful. Open up your mics and just go ahead, brother. Well,
brother, I'm going to tell you like this. Every once in a while, you stumble across great people with great ideas and great expectations that provide great opportunities for individuals to become great. And I can honestly say the host of the National Black Unity Network News. Man, let me tell you something. I may always say it messed up, but you guys are awesome. And I sit here to listen and to learn. You know, and I tell people all the time, the day you stop learning, that's the day you expire. Because every day that we're above ground, we should be learning something. And as I heard you say, if you have any needs, if there's anything that you are trying to do and you need help with doing it, this is the place to find resources. This is the place to find support. And so I just want to thank everyone for their insightful input, encouragement, words of wisdom. You know, the fact that even with Fran doing what she's doing with the youth, I mean, that is phenomenal. I just can't even say. But I would love to see us reach out to some of my classmates and possibly have an internship available for some of those students that are reaching out and need some place to grow. Just something to throw out there. Y'all have a blessed evening.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Anybody else? Ruth Ministry, Vernon, Haki?
Yeah, I'd like to say good evening, everyone. I'd like to thank all the authors that shared with everyone about their experience. It was very uplifting and very encouraging. You know, have me to even thinking to try to work on some notes, you know, even before thinking about a book, but it's good information. I just want to say thank you guys for the information.
All right. I appreciate you, sir. And, Vern, I'm going to have to call you. I'll call you tomorrow. I need to talk about some things. And, Ruth Ministry, anything before we leave off?
Yeah, we're just like sponges tonight.
Okay.
Everything we're just soaking in, and we're going to just let God just wring it out so we can put it out.
All right.
Thank you all for everybody's hearing.
All right. I like what Ruth Ministry said. They tell you, they say when you get up, you ask God, what will you have me to do today? You know, that's a good way to start today. And, you know, at least you start on the road or some type of guidance. And, Haki, are you still around, brother? Haki be double-tasking sometimes. He be on the job and he be listening in and everything else. But Haki is another avid reader. And, you know, so, again, I want to thank each and every one of y'all for your participation this evening. Without y'all, you know, this thing don't work because it is a collaboration. It's about us, we. And y'all are doing such a fantastic job of what God has blessed you with. And again, you know, we're going to be on here tomorrow night with the National Black Unity News. It's about showing up, ladies and gentlemen, because just like tonight, you never know when somebody's going to drop some pearls of wisdom on you, or you may drop some on somebody else. Because like I say, like it has been demonstrated tonight through Fran and so many other people that sometimes when you plant a seed, it don't just show up instantly sometimes. You know, it's a process God takes you through sometimes. It may show up months later, weeks later, year later, but it shows up sometimes. And then sometimes it's instantly. Because like tonight, I got some instant information. Because sometimes with my cluttered mind, now I can unclutter it, you know, just by that simple process of jotting it down or speaking it in the phone, at least those ideas get out the way. Because I think what keeps happening when we get cluttered mind, them things replay itself. Sometimes it keeps coming back up, and then you add new stuff in, and next thing you know, you're in overload. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, when they say much is given, much is required. And those of us who had those type of cluttered mind with so many great thoughts are coming through your mind and stuff like that, that, you know, God has a lot for you to do. So, you know, he don't put no more on you than you can bear. It's just that we need, one of my favorite things that is to organize ourselves. And I thank God for Bill Curtis, because now I got a museum around me, you know, and it does me. I mean, seriously, this thing is powerful. I'm talking about affirmation and stuff, man. And this is, like I say, this whole house will be but, you know, but again, it just goes to show you your journey. And only you can go on your journey. And your journey is for a reason.
And on your journey, you come across so many people. See, y'all only remember, though, when y'all was in the kindergarten. Did you know how much influence you had on the other little children? One way or the other. And you don't even know the impact. You may have said something, befriended somebody way back then, and you had turned their whole life around. You never have not even a clue. You may have smiled at somebody one day who was going through something one day, who was really down on their luck one day. Just a kind word sometimes can lift somebody up. You never know that this changed their days. You know, sometimes. I told you about that time I was in a McDonald's line. I'm going to shut up with this one. I was in that McDonald's line, waited so long, got my food, went out the door. The girl gave me too much money. And hearing myself, I think, yeah, I got over, you know, this, that, and the spirit hit me. I got convicted. I turned back around, got back in that line, and wasted my whole lunch hour. And got back up to the front of the line and told the young lady that you gave me too much money. She broke down crying. She said, sir, I'm so appreciative. You know what she said? She said, I messed up. You know, I've been messing up on this register. She said, if they said if I make one more, she said, I got children and things are rough for me. She said, if I had messed up one more time, they were going to fire me. And see, you know, things like that, you know, little things like that. Now I walked away, you know, and people in the line, guess what they were looking at me like? You damn fool. You are out your mind. But see, they didn't see what I saw. They didn't see the blessing that God had for me. That was a blessing to me as well as her. And so, you know, so sometimes just a kind act, a smile, sharing your information. Because like I said, I gained so much tonight and so many nights that each and every one of you are on here. Because like I said, I'm truly amazed about who you are and whose you are. Y'all gifts are so powerful. And to be in one little nuclear, it's like, have you ever heard about the atom bomb, nuclear bomb, how it's so compact with so much power and information? That's exactly what y'all are like. And so I just want you to know I appreciate you. And I know people listening on Facebook and everything, I know they appreciate, because I know they're getting something out of this as well. Because information do not come back, words do not come back void. And I do know that is a principle, a natural principle, a godly principle. And so with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate y'all. God bless. And y'all take care and see if you can come on tomorrow night and keep it flowing. Keep sharing. God bless. Take care.
Goodbye.